Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Wednesday, August 21st, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good to be here.
Thanks for swinging by to join us. It's been a little while. Also with me today, I have John Martellaro, sans bees. Hi, John.
Hey, good to be here, too. Good morning.
Glad to have you both with us. And our first topic is something that I thought needed to get way more attention from the WWDC keynote that we haven't heard a lot about until just today. Right, Andrew? And that's sign in with Apple.
Yeah, so I remember at DubDub, Apple had said it would begin testing this summer, but I haven't heard a word of that until today. So someone from Mac Stories had this article, and he said that he's been able to test it with some beta apps. So he's gotten a little bit closer look than the rest of us has.
Okay.
And basically, it's as easy as Apple said it would be. I mean, wow. If for creating new accounts, all you have to do is tap the sign in with Apple button. You authenticate with your finger or your face, and then you're done. Like, you don't have to create a password or anything. It's just very easy and fast.
Wow. That does sound convenient.
Yeah. The biggest news for me, and I've been hoping they would do this, Ryan writes that some apps have been able to give people the opportunity to convert their existing logins to a sign-in with Apple account.
Okay, let's pause for a moment while we listen to the choir of angels sing hallelujah over this.
And, you know, that's easy, too. You tap sign-in with Apple, you'll be asked to verify with your account credentials, and then it'll be converted. So I'm super excited about that.
I will be excited about it when the stuff that I am required to sign in with some other service on gives me the option for Apple.
Yes, I that's probably the main thing. I think Apple said using it itself is not required, but if you do use other sign-in options, then you have to include it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to see how many people actually add it.
And I'm looking very pointedly at the Harry Potter Wizards Unite logo on my iPhone right now. because both that and Pokemon Go want you to sign in with Google and Google or Facebook. So, you know, choose your flavor of evil, basically. And that's kind of so. Anyway, it will be great if they give me that opportunity. And I'm really excited to hear that it is. That it's as easy as it sounded like it would be in the keynote. But I'm also wondering, because we haven't heard from anybody who's integrated this yet, what it's like on the back end if you are a person who wants to offer this as an option. Like, you can have a login to a website or a login to an app or something, and I'd like to know from app developers what it's like to you to build in sign in with Apple and see how complicated it really is to do. Because I would hope that they would make it really, really easy to integrate so that everybody will implement it, especially if they're going to require it going forward.
Yeah, hopefully it's easy for them. What I was thinking about, though, was yesterday we had this news that some companies aren't happy with the iOS 13 privacy feature where it gives you a little bit more control over location sharing. Mm-hmm. And they're saying Apple is anti-competitive. So I wonder if they're going to do the same thing with sign-in with Apple.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's private. They can't get your data, so they're not going to like that. At least some companies won't.
Yeah, how am I supposed to sell you Pokemon accessories if I don't know you're logging into Pokemon Go every day?
Mm-hmm.
Andrew, I know that you are super looking forward to this. I know I'm super looking forward to this. And I know that John, you and Andrew are sort of my two security-minded folks on here. So, John, how do you feel about this? Like, is this something that you're going to look forward to? And when you get the option, are you going to convert your accounts to sign in with Apple accounts?
I don't know yet. I'll have to play with it and decide. I'll do some test cases and see how it works for me. And see if it fits in with my security workflow. I imagine it will. but I'll have to do some testing and find out.
Okay.
And then one more thing. So it will work with other platforms. It's not just limited to Apple devices. So if you're on Windows, for example, and you have a sign-in with Apple account with them, mm-hmm. you know, you won't be able to authenticate with biometrics because, you know, Windows doesn't have Touch ID or Face ID, but you just have to log in with your Apple credentials.
Interesting. Okay.
Which is great. You know, it's more universal than Apple usually is.
Yeah. Though a lot of times it's, you know, this only works if you only use this on your Apple hardware. And so that's going to be really interesting, I think. And I'm definitely looking forward to switching to that. If you are an app developer or a website developer and you are looking at implementing some of this, we would definitely like to talk to you about it. You can send us a note to observations@macobserver.com so we can follow up with you. You can catch us at TMO Daily on Twitter. And you can even leave a comment in the show notes. Just make sure you leave us a way to follow up with you so that we're able to talk to you a little bit more, because we would like to find out from somebody trying to implement sign in with Apple what it looks like on the back end, like what kind of process that is and how it works. So that will definitely be something we will want to see. Now, Andrew, you have not had the opportunity to try this yet, right? This is all through a story over at Mac Stories, correct?
Yeah, I have been beta testing some apps, but I haven't seen anything about signing with Apple, so I'll have to wait.
Okay. Yeah, and I look forward to reading how that goes for you, because I am really very excited about this. One of the things that I mentioned at the end of the keynote was that I think the stuff that they spent the least amount of time on was going to be some of the biggest stuff to actually come out of it, like next summer when we're looking at what are they going to talk about at DubDub this year. You know, what were the big things that came out last year? And one of the biggest things, I think, is going to end up being sign-in with Apple, even though they didn't really talk about it a whole lot during the keynote itself. So,
yeah.
They talked a whole lot about Minecraft, and we basically haven't heard a peep about the AR version of Minecraft that's out now, but though we saw it forever, but this feels like a thing that's fundamental, that's going to make a lot of changes, I think, overall. So, I myself, anyway, am totally looking forward to it, because I think that this is going to be a lot more convenient for a lot of people in a bunch of ways. So. More secure and data privacy and all of that. And, you know, and because you're here, Andrew, we have to talk about it. Maybe this will get some people off the sign in with Facebook button.
We can only hope.
I said maybe. I'm being optimistic. I just mean we have to talk about Facebook because I had you here today.
darn.
I know. I didn't want to, but it was definitely a thing we had to consider. Another thing we need to talk about today is our sponsor. Our sponsor today is My Wall Street. And My Wall Street, their entire goal is to get you investing in the stock market. They're not brokers, so they're not interested in just taking your money. And they're more interested in helping you start an investing journey and possibly help giving you some advice and some guidance on some good ways to get interested in the stock market and be able to invest and do so wisely. They have a short list of stocks. Their investors have spent hours and hours researching. And like I said, they're not brokers. So you think of them more like an investing companion instead of just somebody that's going to take your money and go put it in the stock market for you. Now, as a TDO listener, you will get a free 30-day trial instead of the 7-day trial they give other people. Here's how you do that. You go to mywallstreet.com/TDO. That's mywallst.com/TDO. Download the app and you can access all of the guidance, all of the information, their short list of stocks. And if you decide you want to continue working with them, you can do that. And it's only $9.99 a month. I'd like to thank MyWallStreet.com for sponsoring the show today. Our second topic today is the health team. And Andrew, this is a story that you came across where it sounds like maybe. There's some strife and possibly some division among the health team.
Yeah. So the story on CNBC, I'm just going to read this paragraph. So okay. They talked with 8 people at Apple. 4 of them said some employees hope to tackle bigger challenges in the healthcare system, such as medical devices, telemedicine, and health payments. Instead, the focus has been on features geared to a broad population of healthy users. So they say that there's some kind of internal fighting and disagreements going on with some people leaving. Now, that kind of, like, I was kind of confused by this because Apple has been doing both. I mean, they have the wellness features with the Apple Watch, but they've also been doing heart studies. I think they did an Alzheimer's study with someone else. And we talked about how they're trying to improve the VA's health system. Now, of course, we don't know any more internal details, but I was just confused, like, why is there fighting if they're doing both?
Well, I think it's a difference in methodology. I think when you're working with a VA or a scientist, there's a controlled flow. Apple gets to contribute technology and ideas. Scientists get more and doctors get more confidence in Apple's technology. And it's a kind of a controlled environment. If you get into the more global issues of telemedicine and payments, you get into the healthcare architecture and morass of different competing companies and so on. I think it's a little bit harder to control. So that's where I think the difference is.
Well, I thought it was interesting the two things that they discussed. One of them was the two that you pointed out, John, telemedicine and health payments. And part of the reason that I thought it was confusing that these were things that they were sort of not taking on was because Apple's figured out how to help you pay for stuff. And yeah. Apple's figured out how to help people live video chat. So to me, it seemed like those are two solved problems as far as Apple's concerned, right? Like,
yeah, but there's also entrenched companies who are in the medical business who are trusted and entrenched in the medical area that Apple would have to compete against.
Sure.
And their customers wouldn't be individuals who had authority to make decisions. Their decisions would come from hospital administrators and doctor's offices who would have to depart entrenched and trusted services they're already using.
Right.
For the new kid on the block. So that's a difficult thing to do.
Right. I understand inertia. I mean, that happens in any industry where you've got organizations of a certain size. Like, there's a whole lot of, you know, it's a really big ship. You can't turn it on a dime, you know, kind of stuff like that. But at the same time, like, I feel like amongst consumers anyway, Apple has a certain amount of trust because iMessage is encrypted and I can give Apple my credit card. And I myself personally have never had to get a new credit card because Apple's data ever got leaked. I'm looking at you, Home Depot. And so, like, I myself trust Apple implicitly with this stuff. And because I've been using the watch and I've been using some of the features of the watch, I can trust Apple with my health data. I do that too. And I wonder if there's going to be sort of a, much like there was with general corporate America, you know, and having people, you know, who work there come in and go, can I get my work mail on my phone? And enough people ask that finally IT has to implement some sort of solution. And I wonder how many people, I wonder from the bottom up if this is going to be a thing where people go, well, can't I just do this on my phone? Can't I just pay you from my phone? Can't I just you know, get an appointment with you from my phone, things like that. And I wonder if maybe from the bottom up, that might be something, because I know what you're saying about, like, entrenched organizations that have already built this reputation and been trusted. But I feel like Apple is worlds ahead of a company that comes to them and says, let's figure out how to make it so that you can have virtual appointments with people.
Yeah,
and instead
it in
makes
context,
it
Kelly. There's a key paragraph here under the video. It says,
yeah.
My turn to read. Ambitious employees in the field are eager to tackle the biggest problems in the healthcare system, But that does not always fit in with the more incremental and measured approach by large tech companies.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're an employee, you don't have dinner with the president of Genentech.
Right.
When you're Phil Schiller or Tim Cook, you have dinner with the president of Genentech. So ambitious employees are hired to carry out the mission, to carry the flag and do their job.
Mm-hmm.
And if they get disgruntled because they're not in charge and the company's vision is not the same as their own, then there's going to be a few people who are going to leave. I think this is natural and it's not anything new.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a tempest in the teapot. You know, there are always employees who are having fun carrying out Apple's mission because they appreciate what they're being involved with. And then there are individuals who are so eager to get on with their own agenda that they have a little bit of friction with their managers.
Mm-hmm.
And that always happens. That happens with any company. It happens with a broad range of employees. So
yeah.
I don't see this article by author Farr as anything earth-shaking or worrisome.
The one thing in the article that I saw that I wondered about was the part where they talked about I'm not going to read a paragraph or anything, but there's a point where they discuss for a minute that, you know, Jeff Williams is the person in charge of this team. And he was the first to say, maybe we should look at health as like health features as a way to sell people Apple Watches, because selling it as a fashion accessory isn't cutting it. And and then they point out that Williams is the COO, chief operating officer of the company. And so like the health team isn't the only thing on his plate. And I think that that's a thing that should be considered. I mean,
I think the other thing they have to consider is how you directly monetize some of these projects. It's one thing to build these technologies into the watch and put the watch for sale in the Apple store. That's a direct monetization. But some of these other side aspects, you have to set up infrastructure. You have to put somebody in charge. You have to make it profitable. And
sure,
some managers may or may not decide that that's the direction they want to go.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. But I did think, and it's not necessarily a criticism of Jeff Williams. They're just sort of pointing out, like, you know, he kind of does have other things to do, you know?
Yeah.
So, Andrew, what was your take?
Yeah, that was the other big point of the article, was there is no senior vice president of health. There are various leaders in the health team, Kevin Lynch, Eugene Kim, a couple others, but they all report to Jeff Williams, who has a lot on his plate.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably another point of contention with the team. Like John pointed out, that paragraph where about the ambitious employees,
mm-hmm.
there should be just one ambitious health chief.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I agree. You nailed it, Andrew.
That makes complete sense. There should be a point person who sort of reports to Jeff and executes on Jeff's vision, you know, and directs the rest of the team accordingly. Like, mm-hmm. only because, you know, he is COO. If he was SVP of health, I'd leave him to it, you know, but COO is the person who has to make all the deals to make sure that all of the parts are being made, well, have been made, and that those parts are all getting assembled into the next iteration of iPhone right now, even though we're not going to see it for another month, and, you know, not get our hands on it for, you know, a while after that, and making sure that manufacturing is going the way that it needs to, and that Apple's getting the prices it needs to on components, and, you know, and that includes everything. That's Mac Minis, that's Mac Pros, that's iMac Pros, that iMac's Pro, you know, everything. Like, all of those physical parts, like, he's in charge of all that supply chain stuff, which is a full-time job in itself, even if you're not a company Apple size.
In charge of something that's very successful, like the Apple Watch, you're kind of reluctant to give authority over to other people who might take it in a direction that doesn't benefit you as the founder.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
As well.
Yeah, it's your baby, so, and you kind of want to still be involved. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I can absolutely see that. But what worries me is that if the complaints that are outlined in this article are legitimate, And it seems like we talked to 8 people who all kind of gave us the same story, sort of leads me to believe that there's something to this.
I think the author Farr was creating a story where there was no story.
Well, but what I wonder about is what we're going to get from the next iteration of Apple Watch if the team is in disarray, if people are feeling constrained and so giving up and leaving and things like that.
The disarray word is a characterization for theatrical and editorial purposes. 8 people out of the Apple Watch team is a drop in the bucket.
Yeah, but if you're getting the same story from 8 people, that's what I mean. Like, it's hard to get the same story from 2 people.
Well, I mean, you call up somebody who happens to get a tip from, you talk to a source, and that person says, yeah, well, there's an employee who feels like I do. You should talk to him because he feels like I do, and it punctuates the feeling. And so the author says, yeah, I'll talk to them too. And before you know it, you've got, you know, non-independent sources because they're all feeling the same way and commiserating.
Sure. But still, 8 people who tell the same story is saying something. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. Like, whether, if it's that they all feel unhappy because the 8 of them wanted a project to happen that didn't get off the ground, that's legit. But still, 8 people who are feeding the same story to somebody, like, that struck me as something that, you know, there's something to it. How legitimate that is up for debate.
Is the vision of those employees the same vision as that of Tim Cook and right. Jeff Williams? And if it isn't, then they should just get back to work.
Right.
I'm being a little cynical, but that's the way it goes.
Cynical you? No, I'm just kidding.
I've been there. I've seen it.
Yeah. But I also, like, but I wonder, like, for me, the takeaway of this was Jeff Williams still wants to be in charge of the health group, but he has all this other stuff that he's in charge of because there's a C right at the beginning of his title. And mm-hmm. so there's a lot of other stuff going on there that you know, needs to be considered. So if nothing else, I think that part was something that was sort of interesting to be pointed out, because I didn't realize that he was still sort of considered the head of the health team, like not just the executive that people report to with regards to the health team. So that might be a little different. There have been a few notable departures, it does point out here. Some of those were like over the last year or so, a year or two, actually, it looks like here, which is kind of interesting. But, you know, they've also hired people that are doing a bunch of really great stuff, too. So, you know, you can't really talk about it too much. But I'm very interested to see sort of how, if at all, this will end up impacting anything. So I guess we'll see. I would like to thank both of you for being with me today. Andrew, thank you so much for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I'm glad we could keep the Facebook chat to a minimum. John, thanks for being here.
Nice to be here. Thanks.
Glad to have you with us. And I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.